Wild-Eyed Southern Boys, and this was, of course, four years later, I guess, 77, 81, yeah, roughly 4 years later, all of a sudden, that was the time that I remember people saying, the torch has been passed.
I just remember making the Special Forces record. Everybody was asking us, how are you going to top Wild Out Southern Boys, you know? Or you must be feeling a lot of pressure here to make this record, you know? And just to be truthful with you, we didn't feel the pressure, you know? We just did what we always did our whole career, and that was write good songs. Hi, this is Donnie Van Zandt of 38 Special.
Hi, this is Jeff Carlisi from 38 Special in the studio for Wild-Eyed Southern Boys and Special Forces.
Jacksonville, Florida is in the northern part of the state, roughly a 25-minute drive from where the James River empties its brackish water into the Atlantic Ocean. Hundreds of miles north of Miami, Jacksonville is light years away, culturally speaking, from its more glamorous and glitzy counterpart. Certainly, Jacksonville, Florida would not show up on many lists of American music meccas, but maybe it should. You see, Jacksonville was and is home to Lynyrd Skynyrd. The Allman Brothers Band, long associated with Atlanta and Macon, Georgia, actually grew up near Jacksonville in Daytona Beach, Florida. From this heritage emerged the band 38 Special, formed in the mid-70s by guitarist, singer-songwriter Don Barnes, with singer Donnie Van Zandt, the younger brother of Lynyrd Skynyrd leader Ronnie. The original 38 Special lineup released two albums that were nothing special, pardon the pun, but by 1979's Rockin' Into the Night, the third release, they'd assembled the band that included Jeff Carlisi on lead guitar, Larry Junstrom on bass, and double drummers Jack Grondin and Steve Brookins. Lead guitarist Jeff Carlisi tells us how they got that name 38 Special.
It was an old abandoned auto parts warehouse that was out in the woods, and at the time it was very hard for a band to try to find a place to rehearse, and nobody really had very much money, so we found this place, and it was for rent, and $25 a month, I think, is what we paid for it. So we would go up there, and we put the equipment in, boarded it up for security reasons, and there was a drain pipe on the side of the building. We used to shimmy up that to the second-story window and down to rehearse, and that's the way we would leave. And one night, we were out there rehearsing, and we heard these sirens and bullhorns outside saying, "Come out." I mean, it was like a TV movie. Come out, we've got the place surrounded, blah, blah, blah. So here we go, up the steps, down the drain pipe, and there's seven or eight squad cars out there, doors open, guns propped, all these constables out there. And apparently someone had called and said, you know, they're disturbing the peace or there's some cult out here doing something illegal. And I don't know who we were bothering because this place was out in the middle of the swamps. So we came out and said, "Well, really, we're not doing anything. We're just trying to make some music." And said, "You can come in and look around if you want." And the more we tried to explain, the more adamant they got about running us in. And finally, this one police officer said, he said, "I've had about enough." And he said, "If you guys don't come along peacefully, these 38 specials are going to talk for us." It's like, what do you mean you're going to shoot us? For... That sounds like a great plan.
Down the motorway.
Budweiser with the title song to their 1979 album Rockin' Into the Night, ironically written by Chicago-based veteran songwriter Jim Peterick. 38 Special League guitarist Jeff Carlisi readily admits that in 1977, having the younger brother of Lynyrd Skynyrd leader Ronnie Van Zant in 38 Special was a definite plus to getting a record deal. But in rock and roll and business, brotherly love only counts for so much.
Skynyrd was off and running and very successful, and I have to say that the association with them and with Ronnie, it was a big plus because he was able to help us out just in the sense of introducing us to people, making sure that someone got a tape. Actually, we weren't even doing demo tapes back then, but maybe having someone come in to see us play somewhere. And the first break was him introducing us to Skynyrd's manager at the time, who was Peter Rudge. And that was just unbelievable for us. It was this, you know, here's this guy that not only manages Skynyrd, but he's the tour manager for the Rolling Stones and the Who, and all of a sudden we're on a plane flying to New York to meet with this guy. And Ronnie was one that, I mean, he realized, I'm going to help you and I feel an obligation to help you because he believed in the band, but I'm not going to make it easy for you because it was never easy for us. And realized the importance of spending weeks on the road playing club gigs 5 hours a night, 7 days a week, and eight guys in two rooms, and $2.50 per diem a day. And you look back and you go, God, how did we ever do that? And you were always saying, boy, one day we're going to have a new van instead of this old one and this and that. But when you look back on it, it was one of the greatest times of my life. We had so much fun all the time. But after about 3 years of doing that and the band kind of, as they say, the old cliche, paying your dues, we were introduced to Peter Rudge. And from that point, he had a tremendous amount of power and influence in the industry at the time. And he secured a record deal for us with A&M Records. You see it all around you. Good loving gone bad. And usually it's too late when you realize what you have.
You're clear.
Don't Let Go. Songwriter Jim Peterik added to that song great advice from 38 Special on the album Wild-Eyed Southern Boys in 1981. But 4 years earlier, Lynyrd Skynyrd had been devastated by the plane crash that killed three band members, including leader Ronnie Van Zant. For 38 Special's co-lead singer, younger brother Donnie, it had a steely effect.
I think the main thing with 38 Special, it made us want to go on. You know, we wanted to, to just continue to do what we were doing, you know, except I wanted to be better at it now. You know, I was really proud of what Ronnie did for the music scene and what Skynyrd did, you know, and it just made 38 a stronger band. You know, we just were determined to make it, you know, and to make him proud of us and keep that banner going for the South here.
I went on to ask 38 Special's Donnie Van Zant if he felt like he needed to try and replace his big brother and Lynyrd Skynyrd in any sense.
That would be some hard shoes to fill right there, you know. I could never do that, you know. If I could only do a quarter of what he did, I'd be real happy. But I think 38 Special, after, you know, 2 or 3 years after the crash and all that, did keep the banner going, you know, for the South. You know, we were the only band from the South that was doing anything. You know, and I just think that we, after our second record, went back and regrouped and just really looked at what we were doing musically and realized that there was a change happening music-wise, radio-wise, everything-wise, you know. So we kept our ears and eyes open and changed a little bit there, and it paid off for us.
38 Special lead guitarist Jeff Carlisi.
After the tragedy, I don't really recall at that point saying, okay, now it's up to you guys, because we hadn't proved anything on our own yet as far as being successful, having a hit song, selling records, all of the above. But I noticed that you saw a little bit of it starting after our third album, which was the Rocking Into the Night album. But with Wild-Eyed Southern Boys, and this was, of course, 4 years later, I guess, 77, 81, yeah, roughly 4 years later, all of a sudden, that was the time that I remember people saying, the torch has been passed. It's happened now. And we were the Southern band that typified what Southern music was at that time. It was the next evolution of Southern music.
Lately I'm learning that so many yearnings are never to be. Childhood illusions, merely delusions of a girl that I see. Thank you.
Another Jim Peterik, Jeff Carlisi song from 38 Special's breakthrough album in 1981, Wild-Eyed Southern Boys. When we come back, Jeff Carlisi and Donnie Van Zandt take aim at number one and hit the bullseye. Follow In the Studio on Facebook and check out more at inthestudio.net. I'm Redbeard in the studio.
Welcome back in the studio with 38 Special. I'm Jeff Carlisi with Redbeard.
Jeff Carlisi of 38 Special reminds us that Southern rock was by no means a homogenized sound.
Found that we were starting to be respected for inventing, basically, a new sound of Southern music and not trying to emulate what someone else had done. I mean, the Allman Brothers, I remember growing up around the period of time that I had my first band with Donnie, and we saw that band getting put together, not knowing what the band was going to be, but Greg was writing songs lyrically about the South, and Skynyrd was really nothing like the Allman Brothers as far as musical style. They were much more influenced by English music, but the stories were the same, and that's what the real bond was. So gone kind of full circle, but the point I'm trying to make is that they were innovators in that whole sound of Southern music. And for us to just try to emulate what they had done, it was like, we're just going, what's the point here? Because we can't do that. First of all, if we can and we could do it well, someone else has already done it. Let's just try to be original. And I think that was part of the reason for some of the negative press in the beginning, because that's basically on our first two records what we were trying to do. Finally, 38 Special found a bit of a focus with the third album, with Rockin' Into the Night, and then with Wild-Eyed Southern Boys, finally, which was the first platinum record for the band. We had finally developed a style of music that was not typically Southern in the sense of three-chord shuffles or those types of things, but it was the attitude of the way Southern musicians approached their music, and still some of the blues influence, was molded in a way that was different and unique. The songs that people remember as being or associating 38 Special with, Hold On Loosely, for example, or Fantasy Girl, or Caught Up In You, they're romantic songs. They're not songs about the South. If you look at them lyrically, they're not.
Yeah.
Bullseye hit, sung by Don Barnes and co-written by Don and Jeff Carlisi of 38 Special with Jim Petery. That's the top 10 Caught Up in You on 38 Special's 1982 Special Forces album. 38 Special's Donnie Van Zandt.
It was definitely the turning point for 38 Special, you know. But I think what I remember most about it, Redbeard, was it was just a lot of fun making a record, you know. We relied a lot on spontaneity, and whereas with previous records we knew most arrangements and knew what songs were going to be on the albums before we went into the studio. With this album, it gave 38 Special the a credibility of being an arena headliner. You know, we could go into any town and sell 10,000 seats out, you know, which was very exciting, you know. But I think most of all that probably made the record real special was that it just had a lot of variety on it. You know, it appealed to a large spectrum of people, and has sold probably about 2 million records as of today, you know. So it all just seemed to fall in place for us, and it was definitely a magical period for us.
That tour saw the band blaze through every region of the U.S. A showstopper on that tour was the song Chain Lightning. Here's 38's Jeff Carlisi.
I loved the song, and I'm probably not the most qualified person to talk about the song because I was not an author on it. But being a part of those sessions in the writing of the song, I remember the figure that Don had right from the very beginning when he came up with the idea for the tune. I always loved, and we used to jam around with it. And then he and Jim finished the song together. That song was wonderful. There was such a mystery about it, and it just the mood. I guess mood is really the right word. Was just incredible. And when you have songs like that, and you know that when you're just sitting around playing it on a guitar, you know, by yourself or with someone else, there's a mood there. So you figure, gee, imagine what happens when you get in the studio. You know, you can really create something special. And so we spent a lot of time with that song, but it was built progressively. And everything that we did to it seemed to work, but we wanted to make sure that original mood and mystique about the song remained.
On a rainy night, you showed up at my door, child of the night, down and forlorn. Still, I took you in.
Foxy!
far as playing it, it was never any problem. I mean, the song was an extremely powerful song. But we did some really good things on that tour. We were using lasers at the time. And I remember, it's funny because when you have a big production, the band really doesn't get to see it. I mean, you don't appreciate it. you don't even get to hear what you sound like, let alone see it. And even if somebody shows you a video, it's not the same. But we had these lasers. People come up and go, God, that was the coolest thing at the beginning. When you guys start playing, Don and I would come out, we'd be in the dark. And I'm going, what are you talking about? Because those lasers over you. And we really didn't know. We had a description of what was happening, but they basically would spin and put this green cone over each of us, almost like, the Enterprise's transporters. And I finally did get to see it on film later on. It was pretty impressive. But we had that, and then these clouds would start rolling in over the truss, and lightning would it was just fantastic. And people would get blown away by it. They'd come back, and they'd go, the effects and the production, the lighting on Chain Lightning was just tremendous. And that's all they talked about. how was the band? The lights were great. How'd we play? It was like they didn't care. They didn't even say anything. We'll be right back.
38 special with Backdoor Stranger live from Memphis, Tennessee on New Year's Eve 1982, an in-the-studio exclusive. Donnie Van Zandt and Jeff Carlisi of 38 Special reload, and we'll be back in a moment.
Welcome back in the studio with 38 Special. I'm Jeff Carlisi with Redbeard.
Thanks, Jeff. It appears that 38 Special's awareness of indigenous American blues crept into their lives like a backdoor stranger, not unlike what had happened to Lynyrd Skynyrd. Here's 38 Special lead guitarist, songwriter, Jeff Carlisi.
Blues was definitely a big influence. And being from the South, that was, you heard a lot of that, and country music. But at the same time, I remember English groups at the time. Free, for example, was a big influence. I remember Alan Collins calling me up and said, wait till you hear this new record. And jumped on the bike, went over to his house and heard the first Free record. And, of course, Cream and Clapton and all those people. And it really, I think for all of us, took several years, or at least a few years later after the introduction to English blues music, to realize where it was coming from. It was in our own backyard, and it's kind of ironic that it had to go on a boat and go all the way to another continent and then come back before you realized that your geographic environment gave birth to that whole form of music.
I hear your high heels clicking down the boulevard. You got your suitcase in hand, guess you're taking it hard. You swear you'll never trust in love again. I but I know that you will. It's just a question of when. Somehow.
another hit for 38 Special from 1982's Special Forces album. That's You Keep Running Away. It's surprising how closely it all came to never happening had it not been for Lynyrd Skynyrd leader Ronnie Van Zant's sage advice to his younger brother Donnie to stay back where you belong. Here's Donnie Van Zant.
I went to Ronnie and I asked him, I said, you know, I had this opportunity to go to work with a railroad company here called Seaboard Railroad. And I'd been waiting for like years for this company to call, you know, and they finally gave me a call right at the last minute. Anyway, I went to Ronnie and I asked him, I said, what would you do? I said, you know, there's the security with the Seaboard Railroad, or would you go ahead and pursue another band, you know, because we'd been breaking up because of personality conflicts or people's head not being in the right places, you know. And he just laughed at me. He go, man, you know, you got this music in your blood, and you'd be a fool to stop now, so you should at least give it one more chance. So that's when me and Don got 38 Special together. So it's pretty cool.
38 Special lead guitarist Jeff Carlisi notes that nothing succeeds like success.
It was like all of a sudden, well, they're selling records, so they must be pretty good. So some of the same people that panned us years before all of a sudden liked us and said, gee, these guys are the bearers of the torch, and they're still waving the flag, and we're pretty much passing it on to them and saying that you guys are keeping the spirit alive. And it was great. It was fine. It was no problem. I mean, we were honored to have that that distinction placed upon us, but it was like, well, why? You know, why didn't we have it last year or 2 years ago? So it's directly proportional, I think, to the success that you have. And it was funny because for so many years, because of the negative press, we tried to avoid the Southern image just because we thought that was the right thing to do. Not that we weren't proud of it, but it was like, well, maybe that's not such a good thing. And then all of a sudden it was like turnaround going, oh, yeah, the South's cool. That's right. I forgot. We are from the South. And a lot of times people in trying to differentiate between styles of music, they lumped everything into southern rock or whatever, because geographically that was the part of the country that everybody was from. But just as Charlie Daniels was more country influenced, and Allman Brothers this and Skynyrd that and whatever, so were we. But the spirit of the music will live on and remain forever, and that's what I think we're most proud of.
We'll be right back.
Come Out 38 Special on their 3 million seller Special Forces from 30 years ago. I'm Redbeard, back in the studio after this.
It's good to be back here in the South, playing in the great state of Tennessee tonight.